As a college student, 2020 may be the first election cycle you take part in. Now, I know some of you may hear election and immediately tune out. Stick with me for a little bit. I'm Hannah, and you're listening to Life on College Hill. Voting can be daunting. Let's start from the basics. Registering to vote. If you've registered to vote, nice. If not, you can head over to the Oklahoma Voter Portal at okvoterportal.okelections.us. This is where you can find an online registration application. If you prefer a physical application, you can send it to your local election office or fill one out in person. In Oklahoma, you must register before the date of the election. Keep up to date with registration deadlines at ok.gov/elections. So, now you're registered. What's next? Keeping up with local and national elections. Websites like vote411.org offer personalized ballots that show what offices are up for election, as well as state questions to vote on. These websites may also offer nonpartisan overviews of candidates. For more information on candidates, you can visit their social media and their websites. Another resource you might find helpful is voterly.com. On this website, you can enter your home address and it will find your ballot, polling place, and current representatives. It might be easy during times like this to get caught up on the biggest names on a ballot. But remember to do a little research on who's representing you locally. Local government will directly impact how your city and state run. They're important offices. Fine arts freshman AJ talks about being engaged in local politics.
I consider voting to be an important thing to do because some may say it really doesn't matter, but if you look at it in a small, like in your community, you know, certain people will actually, you know, fix roads. You know, we're in Oklahoma and that's an important thing. Or maybe certain buildings will be renovated. It's just, it's a lot more than just voting. You have to look into what you're voting for.
University students have the potential to make up a large voting population.
I think voting is important, especially as someone who is in college or quote unquote younger, because I think it's important that we use our voice and express our opinions no matter what it is, whether it's different than yours or mine, our opinion and having that freedom is really important.
Many students are taking part in their first election. Student voters have options. For those who attend school away from home, requesting an absentee ballot, then mailing it back in time for election day is a way to make sure your voice is heard at home. If you have a permanent residence in the state where you attend college, you can register and vote there. Barriers to voting do still exist. Local organizations are working to make voting as accessible as possible. Whether the weather is less than ideal for walking, your car broke down, or whatever reason you may need a ride, Tulsa Voter Van is ready. Head to tulsavotervan.com to contact the service for a free ride to the polls. They'll give a 2-hour pickup window and service the city of Tulsa. They'll be running early election voters and day of voters to the polls, and on election day, they'll be accessible to those using wheelchairs. The rides are being thoroughly cleaned between each voter. Spanish and English options are available when you reach out. Civic engagement reaches beyond election season. Head of Political Science and History at RSU, Dr. Hicks discusses thinking past the candidate.
I think a lot of folks tend to, you know, get too caught up in the idea of voting as being, you know, the beginning and the end of political participation. And I try when I teach my government classes to point out to students that a great deal of political activity in America takes place through interest groups, and that if you are interested in some, you know, some dimension of politics, that that's one really good way of doing things. I've advised the college Democrats on and off for many years, and what I find is, you know, kids get caught up in a campaign cycle. They attach their passions to a particular candidacy. They work really hard for that candidate. And of course, in Oklahoma, if it's a Democratic candidate, that candidate likely loses, and that crushes them. And then that kind of turns them off to politics for a while. And, you know, and you know, in the aftermath of all these different election cycles, I find my kids going, I just need to take a break. I just need to step away from politics. And so that's sort of the challenge, is to get kids to recognize that politics for most Americans is not a full-time activity. But they do have to pick their spots.
Students are now using social media and in-person conversations to talk about issues that they find important, as well as spread information.
I think I'm very active on like social media, like sharing my opinions, whether it's like a Facebook article or an Instagram post. And I have a lot of conversations with my friends about what we believe, why we believe it, if it's different, if it's the same.
These conversations and new media platforms are a great tool for communicating. When researching or getting your news, keep this next discussion from Dr. Hicks in mind.
Well, the main thing is, in my view, is to avoid getting yourself too deeply enmeshed in one particular aspect of the media. You know, whether you get too focused on just reading the New York Times, or whether you get too focused on just watching Fox News, the more you sink yourself into one perspective, the more likely it is that you're going to become vulnerable to being manipulated. You really have to recognize, you have to see what the other side is thinking, and what facts they think matter. You know, it's one of the truisms the late Daniel Patrick Moynihan said, you're entitled to your own beliefs, but not your own facts. Well, a lot of times, I think people get caught up with, you know, as if their ideology itself is justification. And that's sort of the problem that I have. I also teach a class on ideology. And I oftentimes joke that ideology is a lot like liquor. It can relax you in small doses, but when you get too much of it, it causes you to make bad decisions. And I think that's a very apropos metaphor for understanding that, you know, be it liberalism or be it conservatism, however you conceive these ideological perspectives, they can manipulate you into thinking things that are not necessarily sound, you know, from a logical perspective. First thing, I teach a class in you know, media and politics, and too many Americans just have, you know, that they listen to whatever particular media, they fall into that niche, and they tend to think, well, oh, the media is all biased, or, you know, the media has a liberal bias or a conservative bias or whatever. What I tell students is, no, the media has a majoritarian bias. They have a profit-making bias. And you have to cast a very wide net if you want to be well-informed. And, you know, and I also tell students, you know, if you think that there is a particular problem with America, if poverty is a problem, if you know, chronic underfunding of education is a problem, that's something that you can, you know, that you can work on. That's something where, you know, contacting your Congress people, contacting your state legislators, these are things that can have an impact. You know, if a state legislator recognizes that a significant number of people in their district care about the quality of education and the cost of education, they'll be more attentive and attuned to those concerns.
Let's talk state questions. Earlier this year, Oklahomans voted on 802.
You know, recently there was a state question that basically expanded Medicaid, which for people who don't know that much about Medicaid, it is a program that is designed to help poor Americans, with getting access to medical care.
State question 814, decrease tobacco settlement endowment trust fund payments and fund Medicaid program amendment. This question would change the way Oklahoma's tobacco settlement funds would be distributed. This change would have 25% of the funds going to the Tobacco Settlement Endowment Trust, or TSET, and 75% going to the legislature, where it is meant to fund Medicaid. State question 805. State question 805 would amend the Oklahoma Constitution to end the use of sentence enhancement for people convicted of nonviolent crimes. This state question prohibits the use of a person's former nonviolent crimes from adding length to a current sentence.
Early voting is a period of 3 days leading up to the election day. For the 2020 November election, that means October 29th, 30th, and 31st. Polling location hours may vary, so visit the Oklahoma Voter Portal to find where and when you can vote. Beyond voting, remember to stay engaged. Your voice is important and holds power. Whenever you hear about an upcoming local election, look into the candidates. Join volunteering and outreach groups within your community. Call and write your representatives. These simple actions can lead to a system where the people's interests are heard and represented.
Like I said, that's, you just have to get into it. And it does feel nice, you know, once you understand it and you vote, and it's like, okay, yeah, one step at a time.